Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Kuf Lamed Tes. Begin on the fourth line down with the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding Yeshneichelin, regarding the laws of inheritance. Says the Mishnah, Hineach banim gedoylim uketanim. If someone passes away and he leaves over older and younger sons, which, as Rashbam points out, unlike the theme of the previous Mishnah, it's not told about where he rode over his properties to anyone. We had been speaking about a person who had written it over to someone. Specifically, he was talking about a general person, a person who passed away, and he has older and younger sons. Says the Mishnah as follows, Ein ha-gedele misparnesin. The older sons cannot go ahead and provide for themselves from their father's estate clothing and other types of adornment al yidei ha-ketanim, at the expense of the younger children. And so to the reverse, neither could the minors, could the younger ones, be provided with sustenance, with food, at the expense of the older children. In other words, because since generally the parnasa, meaning the clothing and the dress of the olders, are more plentiful than the younger ones, and so too the food and the expenses of taking care of the basic needs of the minors are more than the adults, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that the younger ones could stop the older ones from spending too much money on clothing, and the older ones could stop the young ones from spending too much on their formula and all the different foods that they need from the general to what's called the tfusas habayis, which is the property of their father. Rather, the halach is that they, as the Mishnah tells us, elecholkin b'shava, rather they divide it equally, and each one goes out and then gets their clothing and their food from the portion that they get, but you don't say that each one gets to take more than the other one, rather everyone has an equal share. It's just that usually the older one has more in clothing and the younger one has more in food. And continues the Mishnah on this theme. Nasu ha-gedoylim, if the older sons get married to women and they take care of all the needs for the chasna, for the chuppah, from what's called the tfus abayis, because their father had passed away, and this was before they got a chance to divide the properties. So yisur katanim, the same thing then applies, and the younger sons too, they also get to go ahead and take off, siphon off from the estate before they divide it for their chasnas too, because why should the older ones have an opportunity which is not coming off their share more than the younger sons? But says the Mishnah, and the Gemara will address this, V'imar b'ketanim, and if the minors, if the younger sons say, after their father passed away, Hare anu naisin, our father passed away before we got married, we want to get married now, k'derech sh'nasasim atem, just like you had gotten married when our father was still alive, and Tati spent so much money in your chasna and didn't come off your expense, now that we're getting married, we have to spend the 50, 60,000, whatever it is on from our own money, no, we want it to come off from this day too, from our father. And that says the Mishnah, Ein Shem Elohim, we don't listen to them, but rather what the father had given when he was alive, then Nasan has given that, and that's how the Gemara will ultimately explain it, in contrast to the previous halacha, which are both talking about after the father had passed away. Continues the Mishnah, Hanich Banis, let's say a man passed away and he only left over daughters and no sons, Gedeilu Sukatanis, older daughters and younger daughters, as the Mishnah explains, the same as we said regarding sons, the same thing applies to the daughters, which is Eina gedolis misparnesis aydakatanis. The older girls don't get to spend more on clothing and fashion more than the younger girls. But like katanis nizanis algedanis, neither do the younger girls get to have more regarding food than the older girls. Elecholkis b'shava, rather, as we said, they split it equally, and then whatever each one needs, they take from their portion. So too, Nasa Gedailis, if the older daughters had gotten married after the father had passed away, then Yisukatanis, then the younger ones, although it's going to be divided by the time they get married, no, they get to take off their portion also for their chasna expenses, so too. Now, but the Imam Katanis, but if the younger daughters say, Hare Inunaisis Kaderch Shinasasim Atem, we want to get married from our father's credit card, just like you did when Tati was still alive, then Shemalan, again, then we don't listen to them. What he had given when he was alive is given, there's nothing to do what we're saying the older ones could do after his death. Same thing would apply to the young ones. Concludes the Mishnah, Zechim Babanis. This is a stringency that applies when daughters inherit, Mibibanim, from when the sons inherit, and that there are daughters with those sons too. I mean, when there are sons, only they inherit, not the daughters. There's a stringency when there's only daughters and no sons, more than when there is when sons inherit, and there's also daughters. Why? Shabanis nizainis alabanim, because the halacha is that daughters could get fed from the estate when the sons inherit. In the case of what's called Nechasim Merubim, when there's a lot of property left over by the father, as the Mishnah teaches in the beginning of the next parak, which we're going to learn on this daf, that the sons inherit, and the daughters get fed from their estate. Because that's what's called a Tanai Ksuba. It's a stipulation of the Ksuba that the father who passed away had written to their mother, which is any female children that you have from me, they'll get fed from my estate. But, V'ein Nezayin Es Alabonis. However, but the younger daughters do not get fed from the estate, from the portion of the older daughters, what they inherited, because since they themselves are inheriting all the properties, there's no tanai ksuba of the younger daughters getting fed. They're all dividing it. Then they don't get additionally to that the mezainis. That's only when the sons inherit. Then there's the tanai ksuba of the younger daughters or the daughters getting fed. But when the daughters are inheriting, then there is no mezainis. That's a stringency when daughter inherit more than sons. Now the Gemara introduces a halacha that will relate back to halacha of our Mishnah. I'm a Rav. He says, "Hai godul achi." This older son that from this person who had passed away, who he's the one that now took over at the helm of the corporation, and he's busy dealing with all his father's things. So there's a certain benefit for the orphans that the older brother should be dressed nice, so that his, as the Gemara says, above Kama, that his word should be heard by other people. He's distinguished. So the halacha is, says Rav, "Delavish v'kasi mibeis." If he goes and gets dressed and adorns himself from the family estate, then my da'avid avid, what he has done is done, and that is the other children cannot say, "Hey, when you bought those clothing, it's going to come off your portion when we split it." We don't say that. However, the reason why it's saying my da'avid avid is because, but initially he shouldn't be spending at his sibling's expense for his clothing. But what he has done is done. It's not going to come off from his portion. And that has to Gemara, but not number. We learned in our Mishnah that said, "Ein hagadol misparnes nala ketanim." The older child cannot get it and take clothing at the expense of the younger children. So that seems to contradict Rava's halacha. That says the Gemara, "No masnitin bishracha." Our Mishnah is talking about an older brother that is an idle guy, a guy who doesn't do anything. He's a loafer. There's no gain for the younger siblings that he should dress himself up and be someone that has all the cars and clothing. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah says that. But I'm not the Gemara Shrocha Pshita. Well, that's obvious. Of course, he can't go ahead and take at his youngest sibling's expense. That says the Gemara, "No ma'adit him." What would you think to say? Nicha lahu d'loy ninvul. They want that their older brother should not be disgusting, where they want him to be dressed nicely. Kamash mo'ad, that no, that what should he take should come from his portion. The Ravas Halacha was only by the older brother who's taking over the company. There, that's a company expense, and the family is okay with him spending money on his clothing. Then the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that said, "Nasu gedoy lemisu ketan." That if the older siblings go ahead and get married from the tefusas abayis, from the father's estate, so to the younger ones, although it's going to be divided by the time they get married 10 years from now, they could also take off now their chuppah expenses and before it's subdivided. On that, the Gemara says, "My kama, what is the Mishnah saying?" And the reason for this is because if one reads the Mishnah literally, it sounds like there's a contradiction from that halacha and the halacha that follows that. Because first the Mishnah says, as we just quoted, if the older siblings got married and they used the family expense, so to the younger siblings. But then the Mishnah says, if the younger siblings say that, "Oh, we want her too," we say, "No, what was done is done." Sounds like that the younger ones cannot go ahead and take off before it's divided. On that, I'm Rabbi Huda, he says, as we had already explained this in the Mishnah, hachikama. This is what the Mishnah is saying. If the father passed away, and at that time there was, let's say, a 21-year-old, and before they got a chance to divide the property, he gets married, so that's going to come off from the family expenses. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Yisu gitayim la'achar misavien, so too, although a few months after they're going to take care of the estate and divide it, then we're saying, but since the older siblings got a chance to get married from the family account, so too the younger siblings could take off for themselves. Ava, what the Mishnah was then saying was, "Nasa gedoy l'mechaya avihen." If the older siblings had gotten married, not at their own expense, but from the family expense, from the father's estate, when the father was still alive, where he bankrolled it. And v'amru ketanu l'achamiz avihen. But yet, the younger siblings, after the father had already died, they were 10 years old and the father passed away. Now they're 21, they want to get married. They say, "We want to get married just like you got married. That you got it bankrolled by Tati. We don't want to spend it either." And that's what the Mishnah says, "Ain Shemel," and that we don't listen to them. Whatever the father gave to them, he gave already. That has nothing to do with this, where now whatever's divided is going to be divided equally. It's only if the older siblings had taken when he was already passed away. That's where the younger siblings have a claim. But what was given when he was alive, that they have no claim to. Then the Mishnah said, when there were no sons, and they had left over older and younger daughters. And then the Mishnah then says those halachas regarding, same as we said regarding sons. Now, relating to this halacha, the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Shalach le'avua bar geniva l'rav, the father of bar geniva had sent to Rava, yilamdeinu rabbeinu, let our teacher teach us the following halacha. What's if lov sava'achla, a woman borrowed money, and she used it and she consumed it. V'amda b'nissus, then she got up and she got married. Now, whatever property she owns, she came in, she brings it into the marriage, like any woman that gets married, and it all goes to the rights of the husband. The question is as follows. Baal lekeach, do we say that her husband that she married now is considered a consumer in her properties that she's bringing to the marriage? In other words, do the rabbis consider the properties of one's wife, whether when she's alive or after she had passed away, that the husband is like a lekeach? Or do we consider the husband like an inheritor? Now the difference will be, as we'll explain this, is for all the laws that are different between a consumer, between something that was bought, or something that was inherited. And case in point is what we're discussing over here. Do we say lekeach aba, that the husband is like a consumer, meaning he bought, he's buying what his wife brings into the marriage. And therefore the halacha would be as follows, umilva apeh, the loan that the woman had taken orally from someone else, in a geiva min alakuchis, that cannot be collected what she had sold off to someone else. And therefore, since the husband is a lekeach, that lender cannot go ahead and collect from the estate which is now bought by the husband. Or do we say that no, the husband is a Yerush inheritor? Is that an oral loan is collected from inheritors because the real people wouldn't lend money if you can't collect from that person's inheritors. And since he's a Yerush, then the lender could collect from the husband. That was the question. So Rava said to him, Tanina, it's the halacha in our Mishnah. How so? Because the Mishnah said as follows. Nasu gedolus yisu katanus, said that if the older daughters got married from the family account, so to the younger daughters could. Says Rava, my love, isn't this what the Mishnah is telling us? Nasu gedolus labal, if the older daughters got married to a husband, yisu ketanos mibal, the younger daughters could get married from the husband of the older daughters, because the older daughters took that money to their husband, and that money are the rights of the younger daughters. So obviously we see that the husband of the older daughters is considered like a Yairish. It's like he inherited his wife. And since he's a Yairish, so therefore you have the halacha that this money which is owed, which is an oral loan, because it's not written anywhere, to the younger daughters, is something that could be collected from the husband of the older daughters. So you see that he has a halacha like a Yairish. And that's his Gemara Lo, no. Nasu gedolus labal, when the Mishnah says that if the older daughters get married, so to the younger daughters, it's that if the older daughters get married to a husband, yisu katanus libal, the younger daughters could also get married to a husband. In other words, we're not talking about that the older daughters had used up all the money, which therefore that means to say that they took the younger daughter's money. No, the father, there's still money left over in the estate, which was not divided yet, which we call tefusas abayis. It's that money's correlating to the amount of money that the older daughters took, that the younger daughters take, which is just like the case of the sons. And if you don't see that, however, that the younger daughters can take away from the older daughters, because maybe they can't, because maybe he's like a lekeach, and even if that was owed to the younger daughters, they would not be able to take away from the older daughters' husbands. Is that so? But Vatan Rebchir taught in the Braisa clearly that Nasu Gedolus Labal, if the older daughters get married to a husband, Yisu Ketanus Mibal, that the younger daughters, when they come to get married, they could take away that money from the husband of the older daughters. Obviously, we see that you do take away for a creditor from the husband, which is obviously that because all the money was taken by the older daughters, even the portion that really was owed to the younger daughters. So what we see from this is that we do take away from the husband because he's like a Yairish. Because if the husband would be like a lekeach, like a consumer, so this, what's called milva peh, this oral loan, which is not really a loan, but it's like as if the older daughters borrowed it from the younger daughters, because it's really the younger daughter's money, and they took it, and then it was now bought by the husband, because he's like a lekeach on his wife's properties, then the younger daughters would not be able to collect. Yeah, it would be owed by the older daughters to the younger daughters, but they would not be able to collect from the husband, which is nechasim mishabadim. Obviously, the husband is like a yevish. And that the Gemara says, no. Truthfully, I could tell you that the husband is like a lekeach. But this is not a case that we were discussing of like a milva al peh. This actually is like a milva bishtar, it's like a loan recorded in the document. This parnasa, this amount that's owed to the younger daughter to be able to get married. And the reason for that is because dilmashani parnasa, maybe the provisions that are necessary for marriage for the younger daughters, is the isla kala. It's something that everyone knows about. which is essentially the halacha of a milva b'shtar, or a loan recorded in a document, where the halacha is that the reason why a loan recorded not, which is not recorded in a document, cannot be collected in the chasam shabbat because they don't know about it, and then no one's going to want to be involved in any transactions. But when it's recorded in a document, then we say you could collect it because it was known about. Here also, everyone knows that the daughters need provisions to get married, and therefore it could be collected from Mishabadim, and that's why it's going to be taken away even from Lekuchas, which includes the husband, and therefore it says the Gemara, really I could tell you that the husband is a Lekech, and therefore, actually in the case of when this woman had borrowed money alpeh, orally, and then she goes and consumes and gets married, then maybe I would tell you that no, you cannot collect from the husband, because he's like a Lekech, and this halacha, where although the younger daughters, which we see clearly from Chiyah, could collect from the older daughters, is because like a milva b'shtar. Milva b'shtar, then you could collect even from Lekuches, from the chasam shabbatim. So therefore the Gemara has not resolved yet if the husband is like a Lekech or like a Yerish. Now, on that only Rav Papa said to Rav, who he was the one who attempted to prove from Rav Chiya that the husband is like a Yerish, which again the Gemara says not necessarily so, it could be like he's a Lekech, but then why is the younger daughter getting from the older daughter? That's because it's like as if it's written in a document. On that he says, but Lav Haini Deshalch Ravin Begarte, isn't this what Ravin sent in his letter, where from there you could prove that the husband is like a Yerush? In other words, yeah, your proof didn't work out, but I could seemingly bring a proof that could be like you wanted to prove that the husband is like a Yerush. Because Ravin sent the following halacha. He said, Misha Meis, if someone passes away, V'nich almana ubas, and he left over a widow and a daughter. So the halacha is, amanasa nizaynis min chasab. So his widow gets fed from his estate that he leaves over, which is Tanai Ksuba. It's one of the stipulations of the Ksuba, where he writes to her that you'll stay in my house and get fed from my estate as long as you're still a widow. Continues Rabban with the halacha. He says, now, Nisus Abbas, if the daughter who inherits, because the child inherits, not the wife, the daughter inherits, and she goes and gets married, and now when she gets married, all those properties that she's bringing in, which is all from her father, goes to her husband. Still, her mother, the widow, still gets fed from the estate. Now, Mesa Habas, if not only did the daughter go ahead who inherited get married, now she died, and now her husband, which is the son-in-law, he inherits the estate. Amar Yehuda ben Achisus Rabbi Yisi ben Chanina, which this is an Amoyer Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Al Yodi Hayimaisa, with me there was such a story. V'amar, and they said, Amanasa Nizainis Mechasa, the widow, the mother-in-law, is still going to get fed from the estate that her son-in-law already inherited. She will always get fed until she gets married, or until she claims her ksuba, or until the inheritors, in the situation that the Gemara says ksubas, would go ahead and want to go ahead and pay up her ksuba already. So on that proves Rav Papa, Iyam b'Bishlema, if you say that a husband in regards to the wife's property, even when she's still alive, Yairish Hava, he's considered as inheritor, which is how Rav wanted to prove, and he's trying to help him. Mishum Hachi, that's why it was taught that if the daughter gets married, Amanasei Nizaynis Menachasa, the widow could get fed from the estate, because although the halacha is that mazon heisha v'abonis, the sustenance of the wife and of the daughters leitar v'mimishabdi, they cannot be collected from encumbered properties, which is by lekuchas when someone buys it from the husband. But from yershin halacha is that they do collect. So that makes sense. Why amanasa nizaynis minachasav? Because her son-in-law is considered a yerish of the daughter who's also yerish. But if you would say like the other part of the question, this other side of the coin that we had, which is that the husband is like a lekech and his wife's properties, then why does his shviger, does his mother-in-law get fed from the properties? But the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Gittin of Mechesem Beis that we do not go ahead and collect for the sustenance of the woman and the daughters from the chasam shabbatim because they're tikkun olam, because no one's going to want to be involved in transactions because they're always going to have to feed the daughter and the widow of that person. So obviously, says the Papa, that you see that the husband, meaning the son-in-law, in his wife's properties, which is what the mother-in-law is getting fed from, he's considered like a Yerush, which she does go ahead, and Mazen Ishan, Ha'isha is taken from a Yerush. Now, Abaye says, what Elab the Shalach Ravin, had Ravin not sent this halacha, anan lo yedinan? So he says, in regards to Rav Papa, had to prove it from Ravin, he says, what, if not for Ravin, we wouldn't have known this halacha, that the husband is like a Yerush? But what's not? Learn the Mishnah Sechtes Becharis that says it clearly, and we don't need Ravin to tell us this. The Mishnah says, Elu hein she'ein chayzim b'yevel. These are situations that the item is not returned in Yovel to the original owner. And the reason for that is because items that are returned to Yovel to the original owner are only things that are sold. But things that are not sales are not returned. They are habachayra, the portion of the firstborn son, as the Gemara there explains, because it's called a gift, and gifts are not sales, and therefore they're not returned to the original owner in Yovel, as the pasuk says, losses le pishlem, to give him a double portion. And as we continue to Medbeis, v'hayerish es ishtay, and someone that inherits his wife, as the Gemara there explains, this opinion holds that the inheritance of the husband is a biblical halacha. Now, so there Abaye says the proof from this Mishnah is clear. If the husband would be considered a lekeach from the moment that he gets married to his wife, then even after his wife's death, it should not be undone from it being considered a transaction, which is what a lekeach is. And therefore, then it should be returned on Yovel to the wife's original family. Obviously, says Abaye, you see clearly, you don't need Rav, and you see clearly from the Mishnah Masechta Becharis that the husband is considered a Yairish, where Yairish does not get returned in Yovel, but because if it was Lekech, then it would be returned, because by Mekach, that's something that is returned by Yovel. Now, Amalei Rav actually says the opposite of Abaye. He says, wait a second, you're agreeing to Rav, and you're saying you don't even need Rav, and that you have a Mishnah. But he says the other way around. Now that Ravin sent this halacha, do we know that the husband is considered like a Yerush? But I'll prove to you the opposite way, that the husband is a Likeach. Because the Amr B'Yisra Reb Chanina, he says, B'Usha Hiskinu, in Usha they instituted, and Usha was one of the places where the Sanhedrin had gone into exile, as the Gemara explains, Rosh Hashanah, Flamad Aleph. They instituted as follows. Ha'isha Shemachra Nichsei Milug B'Chaye Bailev. A woman sells off from her Nichsei Milug when her husband is still alive. Which is, obviously, that meaning if the husband is going to die when the woman, the wife, is still alive, then the consumer will get those rights. But if she dies before her husband, then the husband will inherit her, and then the consumer will lose out. So it's a gamble. Now, nichsei milug are certain properties that a woman either inherited from her father, or that she went and she brought in lands into the marriage, which were now evaluated in the ksuba, which those would be considered nichsei tzern barzel, that the husband takes full responsibility for. Here, these are properties that the husband does not take responsibility for, and the halacha is that he gets to consume their peiris when she's still alive, which is a takanas chacham, because since he has to redeem her if she's taken captive, so he gets to eat the peiris of nichsei milug, and that's actually why it's called milug, which is from the term of moilig, which is actually like when one does maligas harosh, which they take off the hair of the head of like an animal, which it takes away, it makes the owner lose, which is the wife, because since the husband is eating the peiris, it's like the wife keeps on losing from that. That's called nichsei milug. So it's really owned by the wife. If she sells the nichsei milug when her husband's still alive, umes, and then she dies, the halacha is, habal moitzi miyad halakuchais, so the husband could take it away from the one who bought it from his wife. So on that, says Rava, if you're going to say that the husband is like a likeach from the moment that he gets married to his wife, so therefore we can understand why he takes it away from a person that 10 years into the marriage his wife sold it to, because he's already, quote, the first likeach, already bought it before that person, right, when he got married to his wife. But if you say, like you're trying to say, that the husband and his wife's property is considered a yairish from the moment that they get married, so then why would he be able to take it away from that lekeach? In other words, why were they masakin and usha that the husband could take it away, but the woman is the one who bequeaths it to him, who she's the one herself that she sold it to this other person. Now, there's no right to Yarshin to inherit what their father had sold off, which this she's like the father, she's like the Meirish, and the husband is like the Yarish. So obviously, says Rava, and the fact that they instituted an Usha that the husband could take it away is because that was the takana of Usha, that the husband should be like a lekeach in his wife's property from the moment that they get married. And that's where he could take it away, because his purchase came before the purchase of the consumers. So it says, Rav, I could prove the other way, that you see the husband's a lekeach and not a Yerush. So Elam or Vashi, so rather Vashi says, to resolve the seemingly contradictions of we have proofs that he's a Yerush, we have proofs that he's a lekeach, is that actually Baal Shavir Rabbanon ki Yerush, the husband, the Rabbanan, considered like an inheritor, and Meshivayu Rabbanik Lekech, and they also considered him sometimes like a Lekech. Vehecha the Tavalei, wherever it's good for the husband, Avdulei, that's what they do from, as the Gemara is going to explain. So they always try to do it to the benefit of the husband. Sometimes that means to make him a Yerush, sometimes it means to make him a Lekech. As the Gemara explains, Gabe Yoivul, regarding what he inherited from his wife, and then to the upcoming Yovel year, Shavu Rabbanan Ki Yerush. The Rabbanan considered the husband like an inheritor, because Mishum Pseidid today, because of his loss. Because if he was considered like Likeach from what he inherited from his wife, it would actually go back to the wife's family in the evil year, as it is by any Likeach. So therefore, for the husband's gain, they made him like a Yerush. Gabi, the Rabbi Yisrael Ben Chanina, regarding the Allah of Rabbi Yisrael Ben Chanina, which is when the woman sells her nichsi miluk, when the husband's still alive, Shavu Rabbanik Elekech. There, the Rabbanik considered the husband like Elekech, Mishum Pseid the day, again because of his loss. Because if he was like a Yerush, then actually the Lekech would get to keep it. But since now they make him like Lekech, and he's the first Lekech, so therefore he gets it. Gabi de Ravin, regarding Ravin's halacha, that's what the Gemara explains, even though over there is going to be a loss for the husband, because there he's going to have to feed his mother-in-law. That says the Gemara, that's because we're concerned over the Mishum Pseidid Almana. Because of the loss that's going to be for the mother-in-law, for the widow, because since her stipulation of her sustenance, which was her Tanag Suba, came before the rights of her son-in-law when he married her daughter, so it's not appropriate for us to cause an active loss to this widow. So there, Shavira Banika Yerush, yeah, that's an exception. They would consider the husband like an inheritor and not a Lekech, and therefore, yes, he's going to have to feed the mother-in-law from the estate. Now, that the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, if we're concerned for the loss of other parties, not just of the husband, in this case the widow, so then the same thing regarding the halacha of Rabbi Yisrael Ben Chanina. The ikab say the lekuch is where there's a loss for the consumer. Someone bought a property from a wife, which the wife owned it. And therefore, when the woman dies, he should get it, even though the husband gets the payers all through when the wife's alive. But since there's going to be a loss of lekuches, so b'shavir rabban kelekech. So why is the rabbanan made the husband like lekech? Why weren't they concerned for the loss of lekuches, just like they're concerned for the loss of the widow regarding her mezainas? That's what the Gemara no hasam over there. Inu avsidu anavshay. Those lekuches, those consumers, caused the loss to themselves. Because kivin dekabal, since they know this woman is married to and has a husband, lo yibayluhu lemizvan meitza, they should not have bought from this woman the yasri tusigava that's sitting under a man, meaning that's married to a man who is fit to inherit her when she dies. And these people were crafty and they tried to remove it, snatch it away from him by buying it from the woman first. Therefore, they caused the loss to themselves, and therefore it's right that the rabbi should make the husband in lekech, and that when she dies, they do not get it, but rather the husband gets it. Now, Rashbam actually points out, so what's with the original question of the Gemara, which was asked? So he brings from Ben Chananel, and he likes that too, that in the case of Lov Svachla, when a woman borrowed money when she was single, she consumed it, and then she got married, and whatever property she had now goes to her husband, it's logical to say that in that context, the husband would be considered like a Yerush, not a Lekech. And the reason for that is because the loss of the lender. And so too, throughout these sugyas that wherever there's going to be a loss, as we see, for example, the loss of the widow, at least if it's not where we say, in contrast to the case of the lekuches, that they caused the loss to themselves, the rabbis considered the husband as a yerush, which means to say that then those who owed money could collect from the yerushim. We consider the husband like a yerush, and therefore the lender of the single girl who then got married would be able to collect from the husband. Hanu lach yeshneichlin, we shall return to you the 8th perek of Masechta Bava Basra, perek yeshneichlin, and with that we begin the 9th perek of Masechta Bava Basra, perek mishameis, continuing on these halachas of the previous perek regarding someone who passes away regarding the laws of inheritance. Says the Mishnah, mishameis, someone that passes away, v'nich banam ubanis, and he leaves over sons and daughters. And we already referenced this on Amet Aleph. So bizmancha nechasim merubin, when there's a large amount of property in the estate, which you must explain what exactly does that mean, how to qualify that. So then habanim yirshu, the son, the halacha is sons always inherit. V'habanis yizaynu, and the daughters, they get fed food and what's necessary for them to go ahead and use for wedding expenses until they either become a begeris, they become older, or until they get married to men, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Ksubas. Now, but let's say nechasim mu'atin, let's say there's very little amount in the property when the father passed away, then habanis yizaynu, then the money that's remaining the daughters get fed from, v'habanim yishalu al psachim, and the sons, they have to go knocking, begging, asking by the doorways to get fed. Now, admanim, he disagrees. He says, b'shvil shani zachar v'sadli, because I'm a male, so I lose out. And the Gemara will explain what he's saying. Rather, he's saying that, no, I don't lose out. So there's very little left. So then we split it, we divide it. I get fed and the daughters get fed. He says, I see the opinion and the truthfulness in his opinion, and that's the halacha. Like Admin, as the Gemara says in the last parak of Masechta Ksubos, wherever Gamliel says, Admin, halacha is like him. Now the Gemara explains, how much is a large estate? Which we said that then the sons inherit and the daughters get fed. So Amr Rabbi Huda Merab, it says, Kedeshi Yizaynu Mehen, it's so that they should be able to have the parnasa for marriage and for food, Elu ve'elu, both the sons and the daughters, shnei masach chaydish, for a period of 12 months. If there's enough for both of them for 12 months for panasa mezainis, that's considered a lot, then the sons inherit and the daughters get fed. Now, says Rabbi Yehuda, ki amrita kamei Shmuel, that after Rav passed away, who I had heard this halacha from, and then I came in front of Shmuel to learn from him, and I said over this teaching from Rav and Mother Shmuel, Amr, he said, zu divar Rabbi Gamliel b'Rabbi. What you said over from Rav is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi. But actually the Chacham, they disagree. And they say, k'dei she'zoynu mehen elu ve'elu ad she'yibagritz, that there should be enough of money that the sons and the daughters should be able to be fed, both of them, until the daughters get older, because that's actually the stipulation of the father in the Ksuba, that he writes, ad tibagrin, until they become a begeres, until they're 12 and a half, oy tinasim, or they get married, as Zigmar says in Mises Ksubis. It's only if there's that much money for that amount of time, that's considered Nechasim Reuben. But anything less than that is considered Nechasim Mu'atin, and then the daughters will get fed until they become older, and the excess, as Zigmar is going to shortly explain, that goes to the sons. But the sons do not inherit it. It miname so too we had learned kiasa rav and amr biyechanan. Remember, some say it's amr rabba b'chana amr biyechanan. That kol she yizaynu mehen elu be'elu ad she yibagru. If there's enough for both the sons and the daughters to get fed until they become older, then hema Reuben. Then that's a lot. Meaning until the daughters would become 12 and a half, that's when the sons inherit and the daughters get fed. But pachas mekan, if there's less than that, hare elu mu'ad, that's considered a little bit. And then, as the Mishnah seemingly had said, the daughters get fed and the sons have to go knocking on doors. Now, that the Gemara asks. Now, let's say there's not enough. Let's say there are just 3 and 2. There's not enough for them to have enough food and provisions until they become over 12. So then, the halacha you're telling me is, as we continue on top of Kav Mem and Alf, Shakli Lahu Banis Lakula, then the daughters take everything? In other words, you're calling that Nechas Mu'atim. So then, it sounds like from the halacha of our Mishnah that the sons wouldn't take anything because the Mishnah taught by Nechas Mu'atim that the sons have to go knocking at doors. But why would that be? Elam Rava, rather Rava says, no, what it means to say is, there's not enough for both until that time period. So what we do is, we first take away the amount of food necessary for the daughters until they get older. And then the rest go to the sons. In other words, this that we learned in our Mishnah, Yishalu al Basachim, they have to go knocking on the doors. It means to say, from when you already used up the excess over the amount of mezainis that the daughters need, after that point in time, then the daughters will continue eating because their provisions are set for them until they become older. And then the sons will have to go knocking on the doors. But you're right, you don't give everything to the daughters once it's under that. We just need enough for them to get there, but the sons will use up whatever excess there is. And then after that, then they go knocking on the doors.